Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
That was a pretty good response. Thank you. Put a lot of word. Let's call it word. Words about the prodigals coming back.
Amen.
And I think every one of us can look around in our family or friends and think of somebody who's out there who needs to come back in the faith. In the faith, and for whatever reason. But and I heard a good word, and do you think I should learn to be a good note taker? I always say to myself, I'll remember that. I'll remember that book, that chapter, that verse. Half hour later, I'm like, what was that? That was so good. Now, if I would have wrote it down, I'd have. But I did find something similar concerning that, and and anyway, I just, it kind of, I don't want to say frightens me, but it concerns me of people. There will be people, no doubt, when the time comes, they're going to say, oh, I wish I would have done that. I wish I would have got my own thing, my own desires. Things I wanted to do. Oh, he said, I got time for this, I'll do that tomorrow. But someday, there's going to be a lot of people, not just people that you know, but around the earth. So one day, the Lord will return. And one day, it's going to be too late for people. So I read this word out of Isaiah. Isaiah 55, verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found.
What was that?
Isaiah 55, verse 6. That, seek the Lord while he may be found. You might say, is he lost? Is he hiding on us? Oh, no. It's us. We have to. He's always there for us.
Amen.
It's us. We have to reach out. We have to call upon his name. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord. There we go. Let him return to the Lord. Let everybody return to the Lord. And he will have mercy on him or her. Or us. And to our God, this is great, for he will abundantly pardon. Abundantly pardon. He's waiting for people to come back. And he will abundantly pardon. That's an awesome
Amen.
Statement.
Hallelujah.
What a God. He, we send ourselves. We know we're our own worst enemy sometimes. If we just turn to him, his arms are always open for us. He will abundantly pardon when we turn back to him. Or turn to him for the first time. Amen?
Amen.
Call upon the name of the Lord. And we have some decrees, right?
Yes.
That we have been decreeing and declaring. And I bring Job to you. Job 22, verse 28, verse 27. You will make your prayer to him, he will hear you, and you will pay your vows. You will also declare a thing, or declare something, that's my word, something. And it will be established for you.
Hallelujah.
You depend on that word, Lord. You said it, it's in your word. It is true. It must be. Degrees.
Hallelujah.
For a firewall, for what? Firewall intercessors? 12 degrees for the United States. If there's ever a time we need the hand of the Lord to move in his country, it's now. It is today. Today, tomorrow, and the next day. If you turn on the television, you look at the news and say, America's coming apart at the seams. But I believe that's not the plan of the Lord for this country. This country
right.
That he has blessed, that has sent the word out around the world more than any other country on earth. Mm-hmm. We're the first in line to help people from typhoons and hurricanes and earthquakes and other things. But more importantly, the gospel. We've sent out the gospel through missionaries, through electronic sources, So why not? Is it any surprise that the enemy wants to tear the United States apart? But in Jesus' name, it will not happen.
Amen. Amen.
Number one, in Jesus' name, I decree that the United States is turning to God, embracing the truth of his word and lawfulness and respecting authority.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, I decree that the active, holy, and powerful conviction of the Holy Spirit is visiting every individual in the United States, drawing souls into true encounters with Jesus.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, I decree that all who serve the United States in government positions are visited by the righteousness, truth, justice of God, and that they will live in the fullness of Christ's wisdom in all they do. I decree that any corruption in government will be exposed and dealt with in wisdom and righteousness in order for the nation to be cleansed.
Amen.
Amen. In Jesus' name, I decree that the education leaders, systems, and institutions of the United States are being filled with kingdom values, wisdom, conviction, and truth.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus, I decree that the body of Christ in the United States is actively walking with and serving the Lord with fullness of focus, sincerity of faith, and in the demonstration of the power of the Spirit.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name, I decree that those who live in the United States are kept in good health and are offered excellent health services and care. I decree that all will live in health and strength of the Lord.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, I decree that the media in the United States communicates godly morals, values, and truth, and that the gospel is favored in the media.
Amen.
Number 8, in Jesus' name, I decree that every godly business and enterprise flourishes in the United States, and every corrupt business and enterprise is exposed and fails. I decree prosperity and fruitfulness in my nation as a result of godliness in order for every individual to have what they need. Amen.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, I decree that the marriages and families in the United States are blessed with love, with joy, and peace, and that every home is filled with the goodness of God. And I decree that every life conceived is honored, embraced, and protected with love and respect.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, I decree that the body of Christ is mobilized into the harvest fields. That's what we did. In the United States to bring forth much fruit. Amen. In Jesus' name, I decree that righteousness thrives in my nation in every realm of life, and that lawlessness and corruption has no place. Amen. And the very last one. In Jesus' name, I decree that love, L-O-V-E, love, is the greatest aim of all Americans, and mutual love, honor, and respect are shown to all people, and that Jesus is Lord over the United States of America. Amen. Hallelujah.
Father God, your word says, decree a thing and it shall come to pass. We have just read these decrees, and we are so looking forward, Father, for these things to come to pass in this United States. To every state, to every locality, national, statewide, countywide, as this country was dedicated to you, Father God. And we just pray that your mighty Holy Spirit sweep across this country, affecting lives, bringing in the prodigals, and introducing our Lord and Savior Jesus to everyone who is not saved. Father, we bring this service before you. It is for you. It is the Sabbath day. We honor and try our best, Lord God, to keep holy the Sabbath day. So, Father God, thank you for this privilege of meeting here today.
Amen.
Thank you for loving us so much that you gave us such a great Savior as our Lord and Savior Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for doing what we could not do for ourselves. You came, you took our punishment, you saved us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God, for being so merciful to us.
Yes, hallelujah.
Because of what you did through Jesus' sacrifice. Thank you, Father God. We dedicate this service before you. We give you all the glory and honor and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Look at Bibles this morning. Please turn to Psalm 68. The glory of God and his goodness to Israel. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered, to those who hate him flee before him, as smoke is driven away. So drive them away, as wax melts before the fire. So let the wicked perish at the presence of God. But let the righteous be glad, and let them rejoice before God. Yes, let them rejoice exceedingly. Sing to God, sing praises to his name, extol him. Him who rides on the clouds, by his name, Yah, and rejoice before him. A father to the fatherless and a defender of widows is God in his holy habitation. God sets the solitary in families and brings out those who are bound with prosperity. But the devious dwell in a dry land. O God, when you went out before your people, and when you marched through the wilderness,
thank you, Lord.
The earth shook. The heavens also dropped rain at the presence of God. Sinai itself was moved at the presence of God, the God of Israel. You, O God, sent a plentiful rain, whereby you confirmed your inheritance when it was weary. Your congregation dwelt in it. You, O God, provided from your goodness for the poor. The Lord gave his word. Great was the company of those who proclaimed it. Kings of armies flee, they flee. And she who remains at home divides the spoils. Though you lie down among the sheepfolds, you will be like the wings of a dove covered in silver, and her feathers with yellow gold. When the Almighty scatters kings in it, it was like white as snow and Zalman. A mountain of God is the mountain of Bashan. A mountain of many peaks is the mountain of Bashan. Why do fume and envy. Why do you fume with envy, you mountains of many peaks? This is the mountain which God desires to dwell in. Yes, the Lord will dwell in it forever. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of thousands. The Lord is among them, as in Sinai, in the holy place. You have ascended on high, you have led captivity captive, and you have received gifts among men, even from the rebellious, that the Lord God might dwell there. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation. Our God is the God of salvation, and to God the Lord belongs escapes from death. But God will wound the head of his enemies. The hairy scalp of the one who still goes in on the trespasses. And the Lord said, I will bring back from the Shan. I will bring them back from the depths of the sea, that your foot may crush them in blood, and the tongues of your dogs may have their portion from your enemies. They have seen your possession, O God, the possession of my God, my King, into the sanctuary. The singers went before, the players on instruments followed afterwards, and among them were the maidens playing tambourines. Bless God in the congregations, the Lord from the fountains of Israel. There is a little Benjamin, their leader, their princes of Judah and their company, the princes of Zebulun and the princes of Naphtali. Your God has commanded you strength. Strengthen, O God, what you have done for us because of your temple at Jerusalem. Kings will bring presents to you. Rebuke the beasts of the reeds and the herd of bulls with the calves of the peoples. Till everyone submits himself with pieces of silver, scatter the people who delights in war. Envy will come out of Egypt. Ethiopia will quickly stretch out her hands to God. Sing to God, you kingdoms of the earth. Oh, sing praises to the Lord, to him who rides on the heavens of the heavens, which were of old. Indeed, he sends out his voice, a mighty voice, ascribe strength to God. His excellence is over Israel, and his strength is in the clouds. O God, you are more awesome than your holy places. The God of Israel is he who gives strength and power to his people. Blessed be the God. Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, that it doesn't change, that your word is for us, that the Holy Spirit guide us with the word of God. And we thank you, Father, for what you're going to teach us today. So, Father, I thank you that the Holy Spirit is so present right now. And, Father, I thank you that your word will go forth. And I pray that you open up these ears, everyone's ears that is listening, and open up the eyes to see what you want them to learn. Purify our hearts, Lord God, so that we can change and that we can be more of an image of you. So, Father, I thank you and I praise you for what you're doing today in the precious name of Jesus. I want to take just a few seconds. As I was sitting there, the Holy Spirit was speaking with me about what Karen was reading. And whenever you go up the mountain, you climb the mountain, it is symbolic of coming into the Lord's presence. In the Old Testament, they were coming into God's presence. And if you were not holy, if your heart had not been circumcised, if you had not given your heart to the Lord, in the Old Testament, you would have been killed. So sacrifices were given to God, and I have talked before to the church in regards to the priests and the high priests and how they made the sacrifices. But as Kieran was reading, I was listening to the word about the mountain. And so when you want to get into the presence of God and you begin climbing that mountain, what I want you to understand is it's not an easy thing. And truthfully, most of us are out of shape, but we could have never climbed the mountain in the first place. Come on. So I really feel that when you want to come into the presence of God, you want Him to work on you. You want Him to change you. You want Him to give you supernatural strength. And I said, Lord, gosh, Lord, people already know that. But as I'm sitting here, the Lord says that as you're climbing those mountains, sometimes it's so tough, but He wants you to know that He places angels all around you to protect you. He places angels maybe to show you where there is a water source. He places all kinds of ways to help you out. It could be that He could give you manna from on high. The word talks about, how the ravens brought manna to the people and everything, but they were always complaining, always this was wrong, that was wrong, kind of like that. And every person has to climb that mountain themselves. But what I kept on hearing from the Holy Spirit was this, that when you get on top of that mountain and you're in His presence and you get filled up in Him, He'll send you back down the mountain. And over again, Karen was mentioning the word Bashan. And a lot of people don't teach on Bashan. Bashan is where the giants lived. So in Bashan, for us today, that would be the enemy. That would be the attacks that would come our way. That would be the storm. Bashan was really a place where they lived at. And so when you're climbing that mountain, the Holy Spirit wanted you to hear this from Him this morning, is that there could come attacks at you and stuff. And we can say the Bashan, the people, the giants of the land, the enemies of the land are attacking me every day. But the Lord says that when you keep your eyes on Him, your focus on Him, He sends you the help that you need to get up to the top, to get into His presence. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to share that with you because I'm sitting here and I'm going, oh Lord, I'm ready to go into Nehemiah. And He said, tell my people that I am with them when the giants attack. And one of the giants that lived in Bashan was Og. And he was so tall, I don't even know anymore, how tall he was. He just was this tough person, this tough giant. But you know what? If we would all be honest with ourselves, doesn't it seem like the storm just hits us when we don't expect it? And when that storm comes, we have to press in. We have to keep on climbing. Might take a little longer to get there, but we have to press in. So what Karen was reading about was that these enemies are attacked. But it's now by the Holy Spirit that we can trust and go up to the mountaintop. Isn't that not powerful?
Amen.
It's powerful. And I'll share something that happened with me. And I think it was Tuesday. I don't really know. This week's been so busy. And Joe and I were upstairs, and we were listening to Brother Brown on TV, The Stand. And when I went to get out of the chair, the lazy boy chair, I could not put my leg down. It wouldn't go down. It was just straight out. I was in so much pain. It was beyond words. And I said, Joe, I need you. I need your help. And he came over towards me, and I put my arms around him. And so we got the lazy boy in the position it was supposed to be. And truthfully, Joe just held me because I don't know what to do. I just don't know what to do. I don't know how to help you. And he just held me. He just didn't let me go. And so I stood, and I really had a hard time moving. It was so painful. And I've just been speaking out of my mouth, proclaiming that I am healed, I am delivered, the Lord's going to set me free. Are you with me? I mean, it's like you have to know who you are and keep on proclaiming that. And deep down inside, my mind is going, oh my gosh, I can't even walk, and I've got to go on Friday to preach. You're kidding me. And I realized it was nothing but an attack. But this attack was so powerful that it didn't want me to move. And so anyways, I prayed, and I called a physician in Traverse City, an orthopedic physician, and I don't know if he listens to the podcast because I tell him about him. And his name is Dr. Reichardt, and he had such compassion for me. And he gave me some shots in my knee, and I could walk again. And he spent time talking with me and doing all kinds of things. So my Bashan, my enemy in the camp was, Satan didn't want me to go to this. Plus I had to drive 3.5 hours. But God is a good God. And when you press in, when you trust him, he will take care of you. Isn't that kind of powerful? That's so powerful to me. But the Lord wanted me to explain that to you, how faithful he is. And never give up, because he will take care of you if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. Yeah?
Yeah.
Amen. So I want to talk about, I've been doing a series on the book of Nehemiah. And this is chapter 4 I'm going to speak about. But I want to just review quickly, and I scribbled it down here on a piece of paper. When we read the very first chapter of Nehemiah, he talked about prayer and fasting. We just sang about, Lord, make me a house of prayer. And that's what Nehemiah did, prayer and fasting. Talked about that. It's important to see the victory. Number two, we have to get, chapter 2 talked about getting in position and getting a prophetic strategy. And what Nehemiah meant by that is this. Everybody had their place on that wall, knew what they had to do, and it did not make a difference whether you were the rich man or the poor man. They worked together in unity and in one accord. And that it was extremely, extremely important that even today, that you know where you're supposed to be and what you're supposed to be doing. And to do it, pray about it, fast about it, and move on it. The third thing in chapter 3 was, he gave strategies at the gates. The enemy will try everything to break down not just the walls, but the gates, which are the entranceways into given regions. Are you hearing me? And what the Lord wants you to do is that he will give you specific things to pray about. Might bring someone alongside of you, and you're to pray with the strategies that God has given to you for that gateway entrance. Now you might go, what I want you to understand is this. Your prayers are just as important as my prayers. My prayers are greater than your prayers. God doesn't hear me and Joe over you. We are all important. We are all equal. And he has jobs for all of us to do. Please hear that from the Spirit of God. And what the Holy Spirit showed me is that no one is greater than the other. That's what we talked about last Sunday. We all have things to do. You might not think it's important, but it is. If you don't, one of the things that the Holy Spirit placed on me is, I hope you pray for Joe and I every day. I hope that you lift us up every day. I hope that when the enemy can't come and attack Joe and I, that he'll come and attack our kids. You need to pray that the Holy Spirit covers us, follows us. And I never ever move any place, go anywhere without pleading the blood of Jesus Christ on myself. I encourage you with that. Because what happened was
Nehemiah gave assignments for people to do. The wealthy and the poor worked together in unity. They didn't care about rank. Now I'm so tired of that garbage. I'm so tired of hearing, well, you know, I need this or I need that or I'm important. We're all equal. But I hear so much of it. And I want you to know this, that yes, God places people in leadership or people that oversee certain things, but everything that is to be done is to be done in accordance with His word and is supposed to be done in prayer. So anyways, what was so amazing, people, is that the attack, and I'm going to talk about that today, came from within. Came from within. The attack wasn't really the people outside. It was the attack within the walls. So we're going to learn about that today. So you kind of have a little understanding now, because it's hard to kind of remember things. I don't remember things like that, so I always have to do a little review. But really, Nehemiah is a book for leadership. It's a book that gets you to know who you are in Jesus Christ and the job that you have to do. It's an interesting book. Whoever thinks there's attacks that come from within. I remember someone saying, I don't care about coming to church because church is so hypocritical. They were shocked at my answer. And my answer was, you're right. They didn't expect that. But you know, when you think that you've got everything together, your act all together, you don't. Because I'm telling you right now that when you do the work of the Lord, you have to humble yourself. You have to die of yourself. You have to seek His face and what He wants you to say. So anyways, there are great lessons. And I want to go to Nehemiah 4, 1 through 3. And it says, but it so happened when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the walls, he was furious and very indignant, and he mocked the Jews. Verse 2, and he spoke before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, you know, what are these feeble Jews doing anyway? And will they fortify themselves? And will they offer sacrifices? That's mockery. And will they complete it in a day? And will they revive the stones from the heap of the rubbish? Because the stones were burned. But they were mocking. Now Tobiah, the Ammonite, was beside him. And he said, well, whatever they built, if even a fox goes up on it, he'll just break it down. He'll just break down that stone wall. Verse 4, hear our God, for we are despised, turning their reproach on their own heads, and give them as plunder to a land of captivity. Do not cover their iniquity, and do not let their sin be blotted out from before you, God. For you have provoked you to anger before the builders. And verse 6, so we built the wall. And the entire wall was joined up to half of its height, for the people had a mind to work. I underlined that in my Bible. The people were willing to work. When I came up to the northern Michigan, I encountered so many people that didn't want to be committed. They weren't obedient to the Lord. And dear gosh, they didn't want to work. And I'd rather be home, in my room. It was just very difficult for me to understand that. Verse 7. Now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, the Ashdodites, heard that the walls of Jerusalem were being built, restored, and the gaps were beginning to be closed, that they became angry.
You ever notice that when you do the work of the Lord and the Lord's told you to do it, how people get angry?
Yep.
And you go, man, what did I do to deserve this? You know, and you start questioning yourself. That's the enemy. And all of them, and all of them conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and create confusion. Confusion is not of my Father. Chaos is not of my Father. And when the enemy gets in the camp, they love to stir stuff up. And they all conspired together. Well, you can do this, and maybe you should do that. Mm-hmm. Verse 9. Nevertheless, we made our prayer, look at that, made our prayer to God. And because of them, we set a watch against them day and night. Watchmen, intercessors today, on the walls praying. And when? Day and night, night and day, day and night, night and day. Is that what we just said? Then Judah said, the strength of the laborers is failing. And there's so much rubbish that we are not able to build a wall. Verse 11. And our adversary said, they will neither know nor see anything till we come into their midst and kill them and cause the work to cease. So now they're not just angry, now they're going to wipe them out. So it was when the Jews who dwell near them came, they told us 10 times, from whatever place you turn, they will be upon you. And look at the war strategy. This is a war strategy in verse 13. There I positioned men behind the lower parts of the wall at the openings, and I set the people according to their families and with their swords, their spears, and their bows. Verse 14, and I looked and I arose and said to the nobles, to the leaders, to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Isn't that powerful? Come on. He positioned them and he said, don't have fear. Now, when I taught history, one of the things that I found is whoever was in leadership, they would go and, excuse me for the terminology, but this is kind of how Marie is. He would pump them up. He would say, come on, you know, get stirred up. You don't have to worry about the enemy. We're all prepared, you know, and even George Washington needed to ride his horse up and down, and he did encourage the people. Hey, don't give up. You know, we're gonna make it. We're going to do that. And we're supposed to do the same thing. We're to encourage people that they can make it. We need to encourage people that they can go forth. I love this. It's just such a powerful chapter. And it said, remember the Lord, great and awesome, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your house. And it happened when our enemies heard that it was known to us, and that God had brought their plot to nothing, that all of us returned to the wall, every one to work. Verse 16. So it was from that time on that half of my servants worked at construction. Now look at this. While the other half held the spears, the shields, the bows, war armor, and the leaders behind all the house of Judah. The praisers, the worshipers, and those who built on the wall, and those who carried burdens, loaded themselves, so that with one hand they could work at construction and the other hand they could use for a weapon. How powerful. How powerful. We could build this wall, straighten this up, and hold the word of God in the other hand. Nothing can conquer you. I love that. And verse 18. Every one of the builders had his sword girded at his side, and he built. And the one who sounded
the trumpet, the shofar, was beside me. And then I said to the nobles, the rulers, and the rest of the people, the work is great and extensive, and we are separated far from one another on the wall. So wherever, whenever you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally. Rally to us, and our God will fight for us. I don't know about you, but when we blow that shofar, that's opening up heaven, and it's calling people to be where they're supposed to be at, and fighting together in unity, rallying together for the cause. And I don't know about you, what does it say? The battle's the Lord's. The battle's the Lord's. But what I want you to understand is this. When Sanballat heard that he was rebuilding the walls, he became angry. How many of us get angry over some of the stupidest things? And then you go to bed and you think, why was I so angry about that? What was the big deal behind that? He ridiculed. If you're going to be in leadership, I'm going to tell you right now, you have to be strong. Because people will find things to ridicule about you. It can be some things that are so stupid. But they will ridicule you. But that's the enemy. So he ridiculed the Jews. And in the presence of his associates and the army of Samaria, he said, yeah, look at these Jews. What are they doing now? Haven't you seen people do things like that today? I try to relate it today. Oh, what's Hilltop doing now? Oh my gosh, I want to do this. Isn't that stupid to do that? Oh, hey, we stayed open the whole time of this COVID-19 and either Facebook, podcast, and whatever. But there are mega churches that haven't even opened today. They're not even back in session yet. So you got to know who you are in Jesus Christ. You got to hear from the Father, and that's how strong I am. If I don't hear from the Father himself, I ain't doing it. If I don't hear the Holy Spirit wake me up, I'm not doing it. And I don't care about other people's opinions. I told that to the ladies last time. And I'm so thankful that I'm strong in the Lord, that I know him that well. That's what I desire for people that are listening on Facebook, listening on podcasts, and people that are here. You've got to know him. You've got to know your identity in him. And anyways, you know, they made fun. You know, one of my goals is fixing this sign out here because I hate it. We already have the banner that's out to be out front. We've got the paint and everything all ready to go. And it's like you have to put it in, well, what's the right word? You got to put it into motion. But there are people that would say, well, don't you think that she should have this? Or don't you think that she should have one where you can have the computer going all the time? Or don't you think, you know, hey, the Lord didn't tell us to do that. I ain't doing it. You have to do what the Lord tells you to do. Are you guys with me? And the other thing I thought was so interesting is, let's say we built that sign. And we did the best, you know, that we knew to do. And my husband's a perfectionist anyway, so I don't mean that. But the one thing that, you know, someone could always say, well, you know, if the squirrels got on top of that house, or the bears climbed on top of the house, of the sign, it's never going to work. I always find there's always that negative, instead of saying, hey, you know, I got some ideas, you know, you can pray about it and see what the Lord says, but that isn't what they did. They made fun of it. They made fun of the job, instead of supporting what had to be done. How powerful is that? And then we have Sanballat, who heard about all these Jews rebuilding the wall, and he got ticked off too. And I thought that, and I want you to hear that, ridicule and sarcasm. Don't we hear that in the church? Ridicule.
ridicule, making fun of somebody. Look at that person, blah, blah, blah. I see so much of it. You know, like, and then what really got me is it said, are they going to make sacrifices? Do you know what a sacrifice would be? Is that if we had an all-night worship night, an all-night praise night, an all-night when we were just in here and there was no agenda, and we were just seeking the face of the Lord, making a sacrifice of thank you, Lord, what you've done for us. Thank you, Lord, what you're still going to do for us. Do you know what? And there'd be people go, oh my God, that church, look, there's lights on in that church. You know, what could they possibly be doing? There's always that shh. But we should never, it should never surprise us, and this is from the Holy Spirit, that when you do the Lord's work, there are people that will come out of anger, will tick you off, they will ridicule you. And this is what I found in the Word. In Matthew 5:10, it said, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. What he was saying is if people persecute you, certain things come at you, thank the Lord. You know why? Because you must be doing something. Come on. Paul said, all who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Let me tell you where that is. 2 Timothy 3:12. Throughout the Bible, throughout history of the Bible, God's people have been opposed. We ought not to think it's any different here today. It may be subtle. You might not even realize it. It could be a form of open ridicule. Former friends, some of you need to make new friends. Because there are friends who are jealous of you. They don't like what you do. So former friends may actually serve as like a tie coming against you, not in favor of what the work is that the Lord wants you to do. And I will never, ever forget, Pastor Bernice Matigi said, if you can count truly 5 friends, like take your 5 fingers and think of different friends, 5 of them. The thumb that's closest to you is the closest friend you have. Isn't that powerful? 5 friends. I think, oh, I got this friend, and I got that friend, and I just met 25 other women, and they're all my friends. Come on. Former friends may sever all ties. Sometimes the Lord wants you to meet new people. There are social humiliations. And there is a variety of difficulties and pressures that come sometimes when you're faithful to God. My kids used, like, sometimes if we were watching something on TV, this is the only example that I'm thinking of, and I've never written down, something will come on TV, and I would just go into tongues when the kids were little. And I remember one of my kids said to me, Mom, it's just a movie. But when we see something that's not right, and it's portrayed that it's right, if you have the gift of tongues, the gift of interpretation, the Holy Spirit will just come on you and come out of you saying, whew, I'm not being a part of that. You have to know what is good and not good. You have to know what is of God and not of God. And I want you to know, the more active your faith is, the more you move. I was really surprised, but the Holy Spirit allowed me to tell the people that I was ministering to yesterday how young I was when I accepted the Lord. And how I could speak in tongues and didn't understand because, you know, nobody that I was around could tell me what that was all about. And so what I'm trying to say to you today is don't let people define you. Let only God define who you are. He sees you different than who you are. Don't be so critical of yourself. But the more you get deeper in the faith of the Lord, I don't know how to explain this, but this one lady, she thought that that's all there was the King James Bible. And I'm kind of doing one of these now. And another person was speaking, and I wasn't speaking, and he said, well, there's a new King James, there's a new Living Translations, you know, there's different study Bibles, there's a new one out, and it's called Living Fire, there's the Passion Bible. And I said, oh, all those different kinds of Bibles? You see, the more you grow in faith, the more you can take this Bible, that Bible, and you will learn from it. You can study it. You can get into it and go deeper in the Lord. Are you hearing me? And for people that really want to get closer to Him, to draw closer to Him, it's like He teaches you more. And I had one lady in particular said to me, she said, well, she says, sometimes I read a paragraph and that's about all I can handle. And another gal said, well, sometimes, you know, I can read like a couple verses and it's all I can handle. And the old Marie probably would have said, are you kidding me? But the new Marie said, that's a start. That's the beginning. You have to start. You have to start. And I had one little girl, she's just a little girl, she's 12, I think. She told me her pastor told her to start in the book of John. She had lots of questions for me, and I tried to answer them the best I could by the Spirit of God. And I always tell people, start in Psalms. Start in Psalms. It's like music. It's poetry. It can help you. It can encourage you. And so, I forget how she said that word. It was something like Psalms or something like that. And then I realized she was talking about Psalms. You have to start. And I really want you to hear this. If you feel that you want to draw closer to the Lord, and all that you do is say your same prayers over and over and over again, and that's it. Or you're excited because you can just quote the Bible by memory, but you have no relationship with God, and you're not growing. He's not looking just for a person that can go, oh, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, and you know I could wrap it in. And then John 3:17, for God sent not His Son into the world, but through Him. Oh. He's not interested in that. What He's interested in is, yes, there's nothing bad getting the Word inside of you, but you are under the new covenant. That means you are to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Are you understanding that? So the more you get to know Him and get your faith and go deeper and have more courage and get bolder, you're going to find that He's just going to talk with you. The Word says, I can't remember the old lyrics from way back when, but it was, He'll walk with you, He'll talk with you. Mm-hmm. It's a powerful song. It's really a hymn. But, you know, He will walk with you. When you're just walking around, you know, like when I would just say, Jesus, you know, I really need help with this. Could you send the Holy Spirit to help? You know, it's just talking to Him. I really believe that with everything I have. And so that's what He's looking for, to go deeper, to go deeper, to go deeper. So the likes of Sanballat and Tobiah are still here on earth today. Nehemiah is a great book, an exciting book. And Satan tries to provoke us. He tries to provoke us, to discourage us. And you know what? I was sitting thinking about you, Judy, you know, Joe, and I think about you a lot. And and we were praying, and I'm telling you, you just keep on pleading the blood of Jesus on you. And you say, I am healed in Jesus' name. There's, I don't even know anymore, but like 101 healing scriptures, I've handed them out right and left. And it's like, I always say that to myself. I say, I am healed by the blood of Jesus. Ah, Satan, not on my watch. You ain't doing that. And I'm claiming that for you, that you are going to be totally healed, Jesus. That's my prayer for you. Heal. And every person here and every person that's listening is praying for you. I really mean that. So anyways, as much as Satan might want to provoke us and discourage us, he's no threat to us if we know who we are. And so us girls that I've been talking about, we've been going around talking about our identity in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? Nehemiah prayed. I think it's powerful. I think if Hilltop was noted for anything, I would say prayer. We've seen miracles here. It has nothing to do with us. All we do is pray. But the battle's been the Lord, and we've seen unbelievable miracles here. And that's what I'm claiming. And they, in Nehemiah 4, 4 and 5, it said they were despised. Wasn't Jesus despised? His own didn't even appreciate him. And I'm telling you right now, don't cover up your guilt. Don't do that. All of us are guilty of something. Take it before the Lord. Give it to him. That's why he died. He'll take care of it and move on. Don't let guilt bother you. Don't let guilt insult you. In the Old Testament, in the book of Psalms, these prayers, some of them might seem kind of strange to us, but if we're familiar with Jesus Christ and who he is, those psalms come alive the more we read them, the more we understand them, the more we get into them. And you know what? I wrote this down too. It's just forgive. What did he do? He didn't wipe that person out. God gave him strategies, but he still forgave. And I'm telling you, that forgiveness is for us. We have to forgive. And I'm telling you right now, that's a hard thing. But we can do it with him. And in Psalms 59, I'm just going to give the Psalms to read later. Psalms 59, Psalms 137, it says that God will defeat and punish the enemy. That's what it says. But here's what I want you to observe out of everything. When you face fear, Nehemiah could just give it up and say, hey, you know, I'm not repairing these walls. I'm not going to repair relationships with someone who just cut me down. I'm not going to, come on. There's different things that we face. I told the women, Kieran and I are putting it on the podcast, on Facebook Tuesday after prayer. The Lord woke me up at 3 o'clock in the morning and gave me a skit. It was called Skitabug number 19. And the Skitabug 19, we came out with Skittles and bumps and all kinds of stickers all over our body, because I couldn't use the word COVID-19 to the women, but I could use a different name. And I talked about the masks. I talked about the sanitizers. I talked about the gloves. I talked about fly swatters. I talked about all the different sprays that are out there, and just went through the whole thing. The Holy Spirit fell. And what he was trying to teach them is, when you live in that fear and you can't get beyond that fear, then what it does is it just suffocates you, and you might as well crawl underneath this pulpit here, because you don't want to go out. You don't want to get out of your house. You're scared to touch someone. Every person I met, I hugged them. Every person I met, I shared with them. I took time with them. I had the holy anointing oil over me, and what I wanted to do is set them free not to have fear. And what the key strategy to fear is this: trust in the Lord. Have faith in the Lord. Fear and trust are opposites. You cannot have fear and trust God. I'm trusting him. I trust him every day. I trust him for divine healing. I trust him for provision. I trust him in everything that I do. And when my time is done, I'm going home. I have a peace with that. We all have jobs to do here on earth. We're to occupy the time until our time is done. And I talked about that because if we don't pray, we don't seek his face, if we don't give him the fear that we have, we will not grow and we will not move forward. Isn't that powerful? Nehemiah prayed, fasted, and didn't let the fear get in, even if the people were in the camp. That's good. That's good teaching. And the other thing that I wrote here is Acts 4. And I might want to spend some time on it, but it talked about Jewish leadership, and some of it was kind of disturbing. But even when they heard Jesus preaching, even at the resurrection, the Jews turned against him, his own brothers and sisters. But you have to stand with what the Lord has you to do. There was a man who was standing by during the resurrection, and he was standing there because Jesus had touched him. And that's what I want to give to you today. Because there can come a lot of punishment your way. Keep your eyes on the Lord and know he's going to take you through. And we have a promise. We have a promise of eternal life. Whew, I love that. Eternal life. And I want to see what else, if there was anything else the Lord wanted me to mention. I think that might be it. I think that's encouraging us enough. And everybody that's listening, like I said, what I want you to know is to watch, to pray, to get strategies from the Lord, and arise and move out. No matter if the enemy is even attacking within, take it to the Lord, and he'll take care of it. In Jesus' name, amen? Amen. Amen. So dear Heavenly Father, I ask that you to seal this word. I ask you to seal chapter 14. I ask, Father, that the word will become so alive in your people, Father, that they will even know that when the enemy is attacking, that they can arise because the battle is yours. And that, Father, that you send strategies. You send people to work with your people, Lord. And Father, I thank you and praise you for what you're even going to do here at Hilltop, helping the listeners to be encouraged and trust in the Lord always. Amen.